Well, what's up, Christ Covenant Church? So glad that you are here with us today. If we had a chance to meet just yet, my name is Pastor Ryan, senior pastor at the church, a little over 8 months here, getting close to 9 months here in the near future, next week actually, but excited that you're here today. Before I jump into the message and really finale of our series we've been in this summer, I've got a few housekeeping items, kind of a couple of announcements that I think you'll be interested in. First of all, just like Greg said a moment ago from the platform, I also want to thank you, the many of you that joined with us in sacrificial giving for our legacy offering. It's amazing what we can do when we come together. And so today I want to let you know that we had $5,284 come in total for our legacy offering. Pretty incredible. We're already hard at work using those funds. I just want to let you know some of the things that we've already done on your behalf. Really excited about these. The first thing is, I wanted you to know that we've already done this. We already purchased 336 brand new backpacks and school supplies. Come on, somebody. I didn't say three, I said 336 brand new backpacks and school supplies to go in there that we'll be handing out this Friday. We partnered with the YMCA across the street for those that are new, and so we got a lot of kids that we're going to be able to bless and families this week, which is so incredible. So we've already done that. Secondly, we are now going to be able to officially send out that 5,000 piece mailer I talked to you about, promoting the series that Dante talked about just a second ago called Overwhelmed, Winning the War Against Worry. It starts September the 9th, the weekend after Labor Day weekend. And so we're going to be able to tell 5,000 homes around this church building here about what God's doing at Christ Covenant, highlighting our church, but also that series that's going to be something that would be interesting to an unchurched or de-churched person. So excited about that. And we'll also be financially sowing into Bible Translation Movement Illuminations, helping translate the Bible for people who do not have it. You can clap for that too. It'd be just fine today. As well as looking to accelerate the vision we share and creating a little margin. We give God the glory for that. Thank you for partnering with us on the legacy offering. A couple more things. I think this next one's kind of cool, but I was actually invited out to be a part of the board meeting tomorrow night, 6 p.m. for SciFair ISD. They invited me out so that I'm able to give the invocation there to pray over the meeting and the new school. Yeah, you can clap for that too. The new school season that's upon us, our oldest son is starting school this 2 weeks from now, and so really excited about that. And I just love the favor that God is giving us. I've only been here a few months and reaching out and having me come do that. So if you're free tomorrow night, no obligation whatsoever. The meetings are pretty long normally, but if you're free to maybe come out tomorrow, 6 p.m., love for your support in that, but excited and honored to do that tomorrow night. And lastly, as Greg alluded to a moment ago, we've got some really popular people here in the house today. And so I just want to give a shout out. In fact, I'm trying to see where the Rash family's at. Here we go somewhere. There we are. Would you guys mind standing up for us? This is one of the families we support, our missionaries in France. Very cool. Our church is growing so much, you probably have never seen them before, a lot of you. And so that's one of the missionary families that we support. They're in France and really all over Europe doing amazing work for the gospel there. And so if you have met them before, you know who they are, make sure you say hi and hug their neck. And if you haven't met them before, make sure that you come up and say hi and hug their neck after service. It's a big sacrifice taking your whole family to another country to preach the gospel and build up world changers. And that's exactly what they're doing. So we honor you. We're so glad that you're with us. They're here a little bit for the summer, just getting some rest and relaxation before they go back there on the mission field. Excited about what God's doing. If you would, before we turn in our Bibles, would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray, kind of reset here this morning, and then we'll jump in to the message at hand. Lord, we love you, and I thank you so much for this church, your church. We thank you for what you're doing in this house, in our community, in the great city of Houston. And so, Lord, we just pray right now that you would continue to use us, really, God, to be your hands and to be your feet as we take the money that we've sacrificed and we've given to the church, God, and we send it out to bless others and to be salt and light, to be your hands, to be your feet. God, help us and pour out your favor. Continue to pour out your favor upon us. And we also pray, God, for the message today. For those that have been here all summer long, each and every single week of this series, and also for those that are here for the very first time and they're jumping in at the finale, I pray for each of us, God, that we would walk away today not hearing from just some man and some kind of church service thing gathering. I pray, God, that we would leave today really hearing from you, a good, awesome, powerful, loving God who wants to speak to the very situation and circumstance that we're in. And so I just pray, God, for every single person listening today in this room and listening later on our website, that whatever we're going through, whether it's great times or bad times or somewhere in the middle, I just pray that you would literally rock our world, that you would come in like a flood and you would show us something new, or for others, you'll show us something again, afresh and anew. May you do something unique in our lives. We need you. This life is too difficult on our own. So have your way in us, we pray. In Jesus' mighty and powerful name, amen. Amen. If you got a copy of God's word with you, maybe an app on a smartphone, or maybe you've got pen on paper today, I want you to turn to Philippians chapter 4. As I mentioned a moment ago, it's pretty incredible, but this is the ninth and final installment of our series, Bulletproof Soul. And here's what we've been doing. We've been working through verse by verse through the entire book of Philippians, and we finished this thing today. Philippians chapter 4, we're going to pick up in verse 10. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. As you're turning there, just real quickly, let me catch those that are new up to speed. The whole idea, the whole theme of the entire book of Philippians in our series, Bulletproof Soul, is this, that God has given us supernatural joy that we should tie around him and no one and nothing else. And when we do that, here's my sermon last week in a sentence, when joy surrounds your heart, it doesn't matter what else is surrounding you. When joy surrounds your heart, it doesn't matter what else is surrounding you. That's the theme of this series, and that's what I talked about again last week. Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. If you haven't made it there yet, just give up, because it's on the screen behind me. Here we go. Starting at verse 10. I rejoiced greatly in the Lord that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstance. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content. If I could mark up my Bible or Bible app, I would mark up that part. The secret of being content. Content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Another famous verse right there. I can do all things through him who gives me strength. You know, I've realized something over the span of my life, and maybe you would agree, I think you would, but people love secrets. Has this been true in your world just like it has been in mine? Like, people love secrets, and Paul gives us a secret here that we've got to make sure that we catch. But let me just talk about secrets just in general for a moment, because we love secrets, but only when we're in the know on the secret, right? Like, if we're on the right side of the secret, we love it because we've got power. We know something that they don't know. What's that old saying? It's like, secrets are no fun unless you share with everyone or something like that. And that's just true. When you know the secret, we love it. But when you don't love it. And my wife and I, a little while back, we had a really big secret. We had the power in our hands. I've actually shared before on this platform a few different times over the last several months, but a while ago, we actually went through something very, very tragic in our lives. I try to be vulnerable and real on this platform with you. And so I've shared many different times about how we went through a devastating miscarriage and we tried for years to get pregnant with our second child. Like first child, my wife got pregnant about a month after we got married, okay? About a month. And then the second child, it took us years and years and we went through a miscarriage. It was a very hard journey for us and it is for many, and I've shared that before. Well, it was a while ago that we finally got pregnant again, and so we had this amazing secret that no one else knew. Now, this is a while ago, so for those who are new, keep in mind, we actually have our second child on the earth now, our 8-month old baby girl, Nora, okay? So I'm going back in time a little bit. We're not pregnant again, okay? So to make sure I make that clear. And so finally pregnant, and we got to the point of the pregnancy where you could find out if you're going to have a boy or a girl. So a big secret now, not just that we're having a child, but we know whether we're going to have a boy or a girl. And so I don't know if you've seen these before, but if you do a simple Google search on the internet or on YouTube, there are some extravagant gender reveals out there. Now, if you've seen these before, if not, it'd be worth a Google after the service, of course, for you to check that out. But there's some extravagant ones out there where people reveal the secret. There's people that use fireworks and misdirection, and there's people that they spend a lot of money and time setting up that whole scene, but that wasn't us, okay? For us, we wanted to go old school, and so for us, we bought 2 cakes. You've probably heard of this. Maybe you've done this before. And inside both those cakes was going to be either pink or blue. Pink representing the girl, of course, and blue representing the boy. And we got 2 cakes because we had one that was sent to Nevada where my wife's family is at. And we did that reveal through Skype for them. And then we had 1 cake in Dallas. That's where I'm from. Forgive me. But in Dallas, my family and my brother, they live there. And so we did that one in person. And so the entire day, we knew the secret, but we wouldn't tell anybody. We wouldn't tell anybody. And people were getting mad at us because we had something that they wanted to know, but we weren't telling anybody. Why weren't you telling anybody? We wanted my parents and, of course, our son, who was 4 at the time. He's 5 now. We wanted them to hear for the very first time before anybody else. And so we did the Skype thing with Isabel, my wife's mom and dad. And then we had my mom and dad and my brother, and then, of course, our 4-year-old at the time son, and we had the gender reveal, this letting out of this big secret. Keep in mind, this is a while ago, but I thought it'd be fun today to show you the actual gender reveal that we did. It's about 1 minute long, okay, so don't worry. But I want you to put your eyes to the screen and watch us as we reveal this big secret. Check this out.
I think it's going to be a boy or a girl?
Girl.
Okay, girl. I wore pink, but I'm gonna pick a boy.
What about you, Luke? Boy or girl?
A girl.
A girl, okay. Grandma?
I think it's gonna be a boy. I'm just guessing.
All right, let's see.
Okay, it's time. Let's find out. Turn it open.
You gotta tell us when you find out, Luke.
Here we go. Can't see it. Can't see it.
Still don't know.
It's a girl.
Yes, it is a girl. Yes,
it is.
It's a
sister. Are you serious? It really is.
Oh, it's a girl.
I can't believe this.
Yes. Oh, that is so awesome.
It's a sister.
You're tricking me.
I thought it was a boy.
Congratulations.
Oh. Luke, are you excited? You're going to be a big brother of a sister. First of all, how awesome is that Ninja Turtle shirt that my son's rocking there? Gotta represent. But that was a big moment for us. Now, most boys, if they're going to have a younger sibling, they want another boy. But he prayed this. And we believe God answered his prayer. But he prayed for a princess to protect. That's literally what he was hoping and praying for. And God answered his prayer. And so a big moment for us where we got to finally reveal this secret, something that we were holding in close. And so today,
from God's word, I want to give you a secret, okay? It's our first point. So for our note takers, our history makers in the room, I want you to jot this down. Number one, the secret is Jesus. The secret is Jesus. Now, I was curious how you were going to respond to that today. I was thinking about that actually as I was praying early this morning. Like, I wonder if they're going to get really excited about it or if it's just going to be, oh, it's kind of a downer. I mean, Jesus, I get it. He's the answer for the world today. I get it. But Jesus is the secret and he is the answer. He is. So maybe you're sitting there today and you're thinking, okay, this guy, he's been here a little over 8 months now, getting close on nine, and I've heard him talk a few times, and it just seems like no matter the series or the message, or it just seems like he's always talking about Jesus. Like maybe you're thinking that today, and if you are, you're absolutely right. In fact, I would say this, you better get used to it if you're going to be around here for a little bit of time, because Jesus is the secret. Jesus is the answer. I tell people all the time that you're not even the main character in your story. It's Jesus. The Old Testament pointed to Jesus, and the New Testament was about Jesus. Everything is about him. So make this practical for a moment. No matter what you're going through, good, bad, or ugly, Jesus is the secret to the solution. Jesus is the solution. He's the life hack. He's the cheat code, whatever you want to use. He is everything that you need. And when I told you the secret a moment ago, literally your jaw should have hit the floor because it's absolute truth. If you want 99 steps, you need to go somewhere else because that's not what we're about. Jesus is who you need. Is exactly who you need. And the Apostle Paul, I just think this is beautiful, but he realized some really good math that Jesus plus nothing equals everything. I'm gonna say it again. Y'all aren't pumped up enough today. That Jesus plus nothing is everything. The Apostle Paul knew this, the original author here of this amazing book. He's all that you need. So let me tell some people something today. May offend some, but that's okay. Let me tell you something. You need to stop looking for your answers in other places. You got to stop. You can try to do this thing and you can try to do that thing. You try to seek this person's wisdom and that person's, all that's fine and dandy. That's cool. But when it comes down to it, Jesus is everything that you need. And here's what this means in your Monday morning world. That when you tie your happiness, your contentment, your satisfaction, when you tie that rope around temporary things, you will always, always, always be left wanting. Always. There's people in the room today, people listening, that your happiness, your joy is tied around your job. And I got to tell you today that your job is conditional. Your paycheck, even though there may be a lot of zeros at the end of it, it's conditional. Just ask some of the good people in our church that are very intelligent, that are right now looking for a job because they were let go. It is conditional. Your paycheck may go away one day. Your job, even if you own the company, have you been watching the news recently? Of these powerful people who owned their company, but the board said, nope, we're gonna see you later and find somebody else to do this thing. It doesn't matter how powerful you feel like you are, or how much money you make, it's conditional. But there's other people in the room that your happiness, your joy, it's not tied around your paycheck because that paycheck ain't big enough for you to tie it around. There's other people that your happiness, your joy, it's tied around an earthly relationship. Maybe it's your marriage, and that's a good relationship. Maybe it's your relationship with your kids, and that's a good relationship. Maybe it's a best friend, whatever it may be. But I got to tell you today, people will let you down, including the guy speaking on the microphone right now. It's just the truth. We miss it. We fail. But I just wonder today, who doesn't change? Who doesn't have conditions on his love? It's Jesus. He's steady, he's secure, and he is the secret to everything that you're battling. Everything that you're, well, Pastor Ron, it's too simple. I need four steps and then I can see victory. I got to tell you today, friend, in love, that Jesus is all that you need. Philippians chapter 4, verse 14 now. I'm going to read a few more verses together. Yet it was good for you to share in my troubles. The Apostle Paul writing. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, the good news of Jesus, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving except you only. So no one else gave but the Philippian church. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. Not that I desire your gifts, what I desire is that more be credited to your account. I have received full payment and I have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. If I could mark up my Bible or Bible app, I would do this with verse 19. And my God, I love that. Not somebody else's God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. If you're taking notes, write down the second point from the text. What you send out will come back. What you send out will come back. Now, I want to tell you two things quickly, and then we're going to move on to the illustration you can see beside me. But two things. Number one, and I've said this before, God does not need your money. Just want you to know that. God does not need your money. That's the first thing. Number two, the second thing, and most pastors won't say this, but I'm going to say it. This church doesn't need your money. Doesn't. What do we see here clearly from these verses? That whether people supported Paul financially or not, God had his back. And so I have full confidence that even if you say, peace out, Girl Scout, and you head somewhere else, that even if you've been tithing for years and you're like, I'm not going to do that anymore, I'm going to go against God's will, even if you made that decision, I'm not going to be wringing my hands together trying to figure out pulling my hair out because I need all of it to stay right here, okay? I can be doing any of that because I know that if you won't be faithful to what God has blessed you with, he'll find somebody else. It's just the truth of God's word. But I got to tell you that what you send out will come back. I call it the boomerang effect. What you send out will come back. I want to show you something. This is very, 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 very simplistic. But hopefully it will help somebody today. I've got an amazing illustration here. I'll stay on this side so you can see me. But this is a big bowl of Skittles, y'all. Can you tell I have two young kids? Big bowl of Skittles. Now, these two things represent something, of course. There's a reason for this. Number one, this big bowl of Skittles, and that's 82 ounces of Skittles, if you're curious. But this big bowl of Skittles represents God's richness, okay? Because he's got Skittles for days, guys. I mean, it's just raining Skittles everywhere. So this is God and his richness. And as you may have guessed it, this glass is us. And so the Bible tells us, and this is so simplistic, but hopefully it'll help. The Bible tells us in many different places that every good gift is from above. So that's God. So everything good you have is from God. The Bible also tells us here and in other places that God has all of the wealth, all of the riches on the cattle on a thousand hills, all that kind of stuff. God is not hurting when it comes to things or money or finances. God has it all. And so here's what God has done for us. God, in his generosity, it's an important word, he blesses us. Is it okay if I make a little bit of a mess today? They're just Skittles, okay? It's going to be all right. But God blesses us. You can tell I'm sweating. They're sticking to my hand. Let me wipe that off a little bit. So God blesses us. He's a giver. God gave his son. God gives to us generously. He blesses us and he fills us up. But here's the problem. For many of us, when God blesses us, and it's not if, it's when God blesses us, we keep it to ourselves. And it just stays with us. But that's not how God intended it. We just read it a moment ago. God intends to bless us and then us to bless others. But so often when God blesses us, we hoard it. We keep it to ourselves. We feel like if we let it go, then it's out of our control. So it stays here. Now, this is probably not the best thing to illustrate this with because it would take a while. But after probably 3,000 years, these Skittles would get bad. They would get nasty, maybe even longer than that. I don't know. There's all kinds of stuff in here keeping these together. But eventually, they would waste. They would sour. They would become bad in such a way that if you ate them, they would make you sick. And maybe they're that way right now. I don't know. But that's these Skittles. It should not stay with us. Instead, very simplistic, hopefully it will stick in your brain, God intends to bless us, to pour out his generosity in us, but then we take our generosity that's God's given to us and we bless others. God blesses us, I'm making a mess, y'all, and then God uses us to bless others. God wants to pour blessing into your life, and then he wants to bless other people through your life. Can anybody testify of that today? That God blesses you, and then you bless others. So let's give you some examples today, okay? Because I don't feel like y'all are getting it, okay? So I'm going to have to preach harder, and I don't got much left. So I hope y'all give me some help today. But God is generous to us, and then we're generous to our families. God is generous to us, and then we volunteer at the church or that homeless shelter. God is generous to us, and then we tithe. We give 10%. God is generous to us, and then we bless our kids or our grandkids. God is generous to us, and then we are generous to others. It's meant to be this ebb and flow where God is constantly pouring in you, and then you're constantly being poured out for others. It's what God wants for you. What you send out will always come back. God has an unlimited supply of Skittles, y'all. I'm just saying. He's got it all. And so I want you today to become people that realize this, that when I give to others, I'm not just talking about money, even though that's what the Bible was talking about here. But in any way, that when I give to others, it's not to get. I give to others because God has already given to me. So many of us have it backwards. We think that we give and then we get. But I gotta tell you today, on your own, you have nothing to give. You have absolutely nothing. Well, I don't know, Pastor Ryan, because I work at a pretty secular place, which is a funny way to say it's non-Christian, okay? Like, I work at a place and they're the ones that write my paycheck, not God. You know, I got a gift from this person. It didn't say from God on it. They don't even like God. They hate God. Well, I got to tell you today, you are misled. Even for those that think you aren't blessed by God, everything that you have that's good is from him. He's the one that allows that business to stay open. I got to tell you today, if you read God's word, he uses a lot of unchurched, unchristian, un-God-following people to do his work. In the Bible, he even used a donkey one time to talk, okay? So he can do all kinds of crazy stuff, whatever he needs to do. And so we don't give to get. We give because God already gave. That's how it works. Do not get that backwards anymore. We don't do things for others, so God will do things for us. We give because he gave to us. Let's finish this series. Philippians chapter 4. Verse 20, we've got a few more verses. I think this one's going to really touch your heart. I hope it does. Starting in verse 20, and we'll go all the way through verse 23. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. This is him signing off, his little signature at the bottom here. Amen. Verse 21, greet all God's people in Christ Jesus. The brothers and the sisters who are with me send greetings. I want you to check out verse 22. All God's people here send you greetings, especially those who belong to Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. If you're taking notes, write down this last point. Number three, with Jesus, tragedies become testimonies. Tragedies become testimonies. I don't know if you realize this, but we just read one of the most epic verses in all of Philippians. And it'd be easy at first blush to see past it, but I want to make sure we stick and stay on this for a moment, if that's okay with you. But we see here an epic mic drop moment with Paul as he finishes this letter. What does he say? Paul says this, God bless you, God be with you. It's amazing what God's doing in your life. But I just want you to know, oh, by the way, that the people that God saved here say hi. I don't think you caught it yet. Paul says, God bless you, God be with you. God's peace on 1,000 generations. You know that whole deal. But oh, by the way, everybody that God saved here in Caesar's house while I was in jail, say hi. Do you not get it yet? Paul is writing this letter. It's really a letter, not a book, from a jail cell. Let me remind you today that Paul was not in jail because of a DUI. Paul was not in jail because of a bad decision he made in a weekend in Vegas. Paul was in jail because he was preaching Jesus. So we could say wrongfully accused, wrongfully imprisoned at least. And instead of complaining and whining, Paul said, you know what? If I can't preach Jesus in a church building, I'm gonna preach Jesus in a government building. And people were saved in that prison. Let me remind some people today that the leadership that Paul was under was a man named Emperor Nero, N-E-R-O. And if you want to look him up later, please be my guest. But he was not a good person. You think ISIS was bad, and it is bad. But Emperor Nero, horrible as well. In fact, he was one of the greatest enemies of the Christian church that's ever been alive. It's the leadership that Paul was imprisoned under. This man, he had thousands of Christians barbarically brutalized, murdered. They were crucified, burned alive, tortured. And this is where the Apostle Paul was put under his leadership. He didn't complain. He didn't whine. He said, you know what, God? You have me for a purpose here. Until they kill me, I'm gonna preach your name. I may not like the situation. I'd rather be helping out these churches in person. But right where I'm at in the situation I do not like, I'm gonna write a letter inspired by the Holy Spirit. The right here in a situation that I do not understand all the way, I'm gonna preach Jesus to the person who is shackling me up. The right here in this situation that gives me so many tears and so much turmoil on the inside, I don't know if I'm going to make it out here. Right here and now, I'm going to preach Jesus to the one who gives me lunch. Yeah. And if we could just get our attitudes turned in such a way that the tragedy before us is more than a tragedy, it's an opportunity for God to bring a testimony. Because with Jesus, He turns the worst days into the best gospel message. He takes that cancer report and somehow he gets glory through the process. He takes that child who you raised better, but they're living far from Jesus. He takes their situation and somehow he writes a beautiful story in the Bible called The Prodigal Son. Jesus can take your tragedies and turn them into testimonies if you'll change your focus, your perception. I want you to bow your heads with me. No one talking in this holy moment. God, I pray right now to sense your presence. It's more than a feeling. But I just want to even skip the first 2 points, just focus on this last one for a moment. God, I just pray for those that they're in the middle of a tragedy. God, that pain is there, it's real. They do not like the situation that they're in, and I just pray right now, Lord, that you would help shift their focus, their view, that maybe, just maybe, you're gonna get glory out of their tragedy. That maybe, just maybe, you're right, they're right where you want them. Because you can use that storm, because you can use that miracle, because you can use that journey, because you can use that waiting to make your name glorified. I pray for my friends today, here in this room, and our audience listening later online. I pray for those that are in tragedy. I know some of the stories, but I don't know them all, but you do. And I pray, God, that right now you would just breathe a fresh energy, a fresh outpouring of your love upon them. And I just pray they'd be encouraged today, that their tragedy actually sets them up for them to see you work, for them to see you do a miracle. God, miracles were not just supposed to be some stories that we read about in some ancient text or in the early church. Jesus yourself, you promised us that even greater things, greater miracles, greater signs and wonders would happen with those who believe, and we believe today. So may we witness miracles in our own life, that when we talk to our best friend, when we talk to our neighbor or coworker about you, that all of our illustrations are not just from some preacher or something we heard about on a Sunday morning, but we've got personal testimonies. We've got personal stories of how God came through. With you, Jesus, tragedies become testimonies. May we embrace the discomfort, the chaos, may we trust that you'll come through, that you are greater than anything, than anyone, that you are all that we need. Eyes closed, heads bowed, please, we're almost done. Maybe there's somebody underneath the sound of my voice that maybe this is your first time at the church or first time at a church, or maybe somebody sent you a link online and you're listening at some Starbucks and you're witnessing all of this and you're hearing this text from Philippians chapter 4 and talking about the secret is Jesus, and man, if we send this out, it's gonna come back. And man, Jesus, he'll turn even the bad stuff into good. Somehow it's what he does. And you're hearing all of this, but at the same time, there's an emptiness, there's a void on the inside. You're like, that sounds good, preacher, but as for me in my life, I just know that there's a hole in my heart. And I've been trying to put all these things in that place, and I just realized today, for maybe the first time, or maybe the first time in a long time, that Jesus is actually who I need. And he's the one that brings pure joy, pure happiness. He's the one that died on the cross and rose from the dead He's the one that gave it all for me. If there's anybody here, no one looking but me, please, that you see your life and you just know you are far from God, there's a disconnect there. I want to give you an opportunity to surrender your life to Jesus, to give him your life, your everything. You may not know all the answers, but you know the answer now, and it's Jesus. So eyes closed, heads bowed. If there's anyone underneath the sound of my voice, I can't see those listening online, but those in the room, you're far from God, but you want to give your life to Jesus. Can you lift up your hand so I can see it? God, you're so good. So good. Jesus, I pray right now for every single person listening here today. God, in this holy moment, we surrender all to you. We ask you to forgive us of our sins, our mistakes. We've all missed it. We've all failed. We're not good enough, but you are. So today, we put our trust, our belief in you. Jesus, we believe that you died on the cross. But not just that, you also rose from the dead. And so because of what you've done, we can be forgiven, set free, made whole. And so we just ask you to forgive us. Shape us, mold us to be more like you. Help us to live our lives for you. We love you. We need you. And we trust you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me if you're able to, all across the house? So thankful that you're here. Excited about next week and the new series, the new messages coming ahead of us. Excited about Back to School Bash and everything that's coming on the horizon. I want to tell you a couple of things real quickly. Number one, myself and others, a few of us, will be down here at the front amongst the Skittles, and we're here to pray with you. For anything that you need prayer for, we'll stay as long as you need. If there's a line, we'll wait. If there's not, of course, then we won't, but we're here. We're here to pray with you. We're here to agree with you. If anything's going on in your world, good, bad, ugly, somewhere in the middle of all of that, we're here to pray. And then lastly, we're so excited about next week, something fresh, something new. And so we hope that you'll be here. Besides that, you are dismissed. God bless you. Have a great day.